Oh shit. Look who it is. Primal Alchemy's Repel Initiation Hour, Season 2. With your host, Chris Story, coming at you live, Energy Fam. We are fucking back. And we have some big shows in store for you. It's been quite some time, guys. Quite some time. I think it's been like 2 months since the last episode. Had a lot of you guys reach out to me on Instagram being like, Chris, where the fuck are you, man? Where the fuck is our information? Where is our disclosure? Where is the savior to come down and wake up the planet? Well, guys, I'm here and I'm back. I've been a little busy. Been a little busy doing phase two. That word is probably been overused by me now for the past year and a bit. But I have finally relaunched the brand. And yeah, it's a nice weight off my shoulders. I've had to put a lot of things on the back burner, this podcast included, in order to really get Primal Alchemy up and running, give it a facelift, and really make it become what I always intended it to be when I had that out-of-body experience 4 years ago. Almost 4 years? Yeah, a good 4 years ago, guys. It's been a good 4 years since I had that experience, which was telling me to make this brand and everything that would come as a result of it. So finally, time to enjoy the fruits of the labor, and the juice is gonna be worth the squeeze, I can tell you that. But more importantly, guys, I've missed you. I've missed having the feedback from you episode after episode, and I've missed being able to talk to people that I look up to and have them on the podcast, and yeah, everything that comes with this. So it's great to be back, and I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update on how things are since the launch of Phase 2. If you are all brand new to this, you, sir or madam, who is listening to this and you've never heard my voice before, or you don't know what the fuck Primal Alchemy is, well, Primal Alchemy is a superhuman optimization brand, and we unify ancient ancestral wisdom with 21st century science in order to create a line of premium lifestyle products intended to maximize your physical, mental, spiritual capabilities and take your shit to the next level so you can complete your hero's journey, fulfill your destiny, and together we will ascend and bring in the golden age of humanity starting in 2020. 2020 vision activated today. That's it, guys. Really looking forward to this. So as a massive thank you for tuning in, you get the exclusive 10% discount code REDPILL. That's the code REDPILL that when used at checkout, you'll get 10% off anything on primalalchemy.co.uk. Now, before, guys, all that meant was that you get 10% off Vitruvian Protein. That was the only product we had on store. But now, with the relaunch of the brand, shit, guys, you will be spoiled for choice. We've got everything you need to take your shit to the next level, to make you superhuman, to unleash that demigod that's inside of you. We have our Fuel of the God supplement range. Not only do we have the Vitruvian Protein, we now have the Immortal Shilajit, the Poseidon Force Phytoplankton, we have the Chronic Chi MCT CBD oil. It's a lot to choose from. But hey, we also have Ancestral Kitchen, which has our Carnivore Evolution Meat Box, the world's only organic keto paleo certified meat box delivery service. It's delicious, guys. I've been consuming that over the past few weeks, and I've been really stocking up on the heart and liver. I'm going deep on that organ meat, and I'm feeling fucking good. I'm feeling strong. I'm feeling cerebrally high, loaded with those animal fats that you need, those nutrient dense foods that are keeping me optimized, and I want to be able to share that with you guys. So please check it out, primalalchemy.co.uk, and get yourself the Carnivore Evolution meat box, which is going to tie in very nicely to today's episode and kicking season two off with something that's very close to my heart. And all of you that have been listening to this for a while now know that I am a big advocate of nose to tail nutrition. So today's guest is Hilda Labrador Gore, also known as Holistic Hilda. Hilda is the host of the Wise Tradition podcast. So if you guys haven't heard of that yet, the Wise Tradition podcast is the in-house podcast of the Weston A. Price Foundation. Weston A. Price being the godfather of Ancestral Nutrition. I'm not going to disclose too much on him because you will be learning a little bit more about him on today's episode, where me and Hilda sit down and talk everything ancestral health and wisdom. We're talking nutrition, we're talking modern biohacking, which is actually ancestral practices with a modern twist. We discuss Hilda's own journey of health, and yeah, I think there's a lot of shit for you to gain in this episode, guys. Hopefully you really enjoy it. It's a good solid episode to get the ball rolling. I've got some really good episodes coming up, and as always, something that I haven't lost over the past few months of inactivity is my ability to blabber on in the intro. So anyway, let's get shit started. As usual, guys, you've probably missed this one. Morpheus, tell these fools what's up.
You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
As above, so below, what lies without resides within. Time for growth to begin. Mental, physical, and spiritual, we find balance with all three as we focus on totality, the whole, not the half. This is for those on a spiritual path, looking for the clues to the answers of life. But the truth ain't always nice, so leave your ego at the door. Let your inner lion roar and your spirit soar as we go deep down to the molecular level. Tap into the body with some yogic breath. Throw in some calisthenics for a true strength test. Like the shamans of old, we use nature to heal with a little bit of DMT to reveal. This whole life journey is a little surreal, and your mind needs a leader, not a follower in life. Let your mind be the master and you pay a hefty price. This next 60 minutes is about self-mastery. It's not an easy path and it's a lifelong journey, but we up to empower with this red pill initiation hour. With this red pill initiation hour, brought to you by Primal Alchemy.
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Three, two, one, and oh shit, praise. Hiya, guys. We are back with episode 58 of the Red Pill Initiation Hour. And as always, I'm always delivering you the best guests, the best minds, the thought leaders, and the best of the best, the cream of the crop. Actually, that's not the best analogy to use, especially of what we're going to be talking about with crops today. But anyway, guys, so today's guest is Miss Hilda Labrador-Gore. Hilda is the host of Wise Traditions, which is a podcast that is part of the Weston A. Price Foundation. By now, guys, you should know that I talk about Weston A. Price's research quite a bit. If you've been following the podcast, you know that I'm into my ancestral nutrition, and you know that plays a vital part, a vital foundation of the primal alchemy philosophy. So, yeah, just want to give a massive warm welcome to Hilda. Hilda, thanks for coming on.
Oh my gosh, Chris, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk to you and to your listeners. I think what you're doing is fantastic, and I think our vision aligns, so I'm really eager to get into it.
Yeah, for sure. So Hilda, for everyone who's unfamiliar with yourself, if they haven't tuned in to the Wise Traditions podcast before, if they don't follow Holistic Hilda on Instagram, what's your story? Give us a little bit of a rundown.
My story actually starts before I was even born. That's true. It's crazy. So taking it way back, when my mom was expecting me, when she was pregnant with me, she got exposed to the German measles. Ooh. And the doctors knew even then, oh my gosh, your baby's going to be born with some serious birth defect. And I was born with a serious birth defect, but it was a hole in my heart between the lower two ventricles. Wow. And so as a child, they told me, you can't be too active. You know, we have to keep monitoring you. When I was 9 years old, they performed open heart surgery on me. And after that, they gave me a clean bill of health. They said, you can do whatever you want. And I thought, oh my gosh, like I want to take care of this body that I have, and I want to help other people do the same. So kind of that fragile start set the trajectory of my life, if you will. So then, okay, what did I do? I was like, okay, it's all about like exercise. Like just, we got to keep moving and be strong. So I became this fitness professional, which is awesome. Like I still love moving and being strong, but I hadn't really thought about the food piece. I almost thought it didn't matter because I thought, well, just whatever you take in, you just burn it off. It's all good. But a dear friend of mine became sick with chronic fatigue, and she was so sick, Chris, like she could hardly get out of bed. And of course, doctors had no answers for her. So she started taking matters into her own hands, which is something I'm a big advocate of. I'm like, people just need to like wake up and figure out what's going to work for them and not listen to all the supposed experts, you know? And so that's what she did. She started playing around with her diet, and she met Sally Fallon Morrell, the head of the Western Christ Foundation. I know, at a health fair. Exactly. And she was like, oh my gosh, this woman is older, but she is glowing with health. I want what she has. And Sally was super sweet and was just like, oh yeah, you might want to read my book. And it changed my friend's life. Her health started to improve. And then I was like, maybe what you eat does matter, you know? And so that was a little, kind of the little aha moment I needed to start incorporating real food into my diet, into my kids' diet. Like suddenly it was the year of butter, and then it was the year of raw milk, and just incorporating real food into our diet and avoiding processed foods. And it's just been, I've been on this amazing trajectory ever since. It's been fascinating. And then I can get in all the, I don't know how far you want me to go. I can get into like how I started traveling the world, and like, it's just been fantastic.
Yeah, that's sure, Hilda. Like, let's just jump on into it. I've seen that you're planning on going out to Australia. Is that correct?
Yes.
Following in the footsteps of Mr. Price himself.
Absolutely. And this is the thing. I just really feel like we're very disconnected from the wisdom of the past. And so I love the emphasis of the Weston Price Foundation of like looking back to for good health today. So they sent me as a volunteer back in the day, it was 2015 or so, to go to Kenya. And this is so wild. So this Maasai tribesman called them up, basically, believe it or not, they have cell phones even in the most remote villages in Kenya. And he called and he said, please send someone over. We're all getting sick. This Maasai guy, Dixon Gisa, actually said, I have diabetes, my wife has asthma, and he could just see the veracity of the information from the Price Foundation based on the principles that Dr. Price himself discovered, that the most healthy people around the world were those eating their natural traditional diets. They were out in the sun, you know, they were in community, all the factors that improve our health and maintain our health. So he realized that his own tribe was getting influenced by the displacing foods of modern commerce, as Dr. Price calls them. And they were drinking sodas. And even I was there, they had some celebration at a church. They all had their sodas. And I was like, oh no, what's happening? But after I went there, the whole community was like, we are going to change our diet. As a matter of fact, one of the leaders of the community got in front of the whole group and said, from this day forward, we're cooking our traditional foods. He actually was commanding the women to do so. But be that as it may, that's their society. But he's like, the women will start cooking our traditional foods. And Chris, I went back a year later and they were doing it. They were totally turning things around. As a matter of fact, Dixon's wife left her job at a little preschool or something to garden their acreage that they had and start feeding her food, her family more natural foods that they were growing themselves, and then selling the additional ones at market. So it was like amazing to see the transformation. And again, I wasn't saying I have the secrets for you guys. I was like saying, you discover your roots. And I even talked to a Maasai man who was so old, he didn't know how old he was. He literally had no idea. I promise you, he was like 90 something, and or if not 100. And he said, you know, when I was younger, we would just play outside. If it started raining, we didn't care. Like, we didn't get sick. He's like, we didn't get sick. If we felt a shiver coming on, we would just literally drink milk from the cow. And you know, the Maasai diet is mostly, you know, the raw milk, the meat, the blood, and maybe some honey and wild fruit. And then he said, but now, with my grandchildren, they say, put a sweater on because it's getting colder. But we didn't do that, you know? And then he's like, and now they say diseases are coming. We must get shots. He said, but we never took shots. And so it was just amazing to hear from him. Of course, he didn't speak English. I had a translator. But to hear directly from him as closely as possible the way life was. And to see him at his age, he said the only thing failing was his eyes a little bit. And he's like, I guess it's age. I'm like, yeah, I guess. But other than that, he was like doing amazingly well. And so after I went to Kenya, I thought, man, like, I want to talk to more people. As a matter of fact, I think the foundation should have a podcast. And that was kind of the little seed that was planted to start a show. So I began hosting and producing it on behalf of the foundation. And then I thought, you know, I want to go other places. Well, it really wasn't just me. At the behest of others, I went to Peru. And then this Australia trip started taking shape because the second biggest listening audience outside of the U.S. is Australia for the Wise Traditions podcast. Really? So I thought, I need to go there. Plus, Dr. Price went there. So I thought, let me just keep following in his footsteps. And it's really cool because I do get to talk to Indigenous people, but I also talk to those in the cities who still remember their traditions or can say, we've left these behind. And so I'm learning so much, but it's not just for me. I'm going to get the word out because I feel like, just like you, I'm a voice to lift up and kind of point the way for people to discover and rediscover what's going to help them live their optimal lives.
Yeah, it's what, like you were saying with the Maasai tribe, it's I stumbled upon Dr. Price's work through the work of Dr. Kate Shanahan with her book Deep Nutrition. Don't know if you've read that one, Hilda. It's a great book. You should try and get Dr. Kate onto the podcast. She's got some next level brains when it comes to this. And yeah, I was learning all about the Maasai and yeah, literally their diet that you discussed, when it's like raw milk, blood, animal meat, animal organ meat. And it's just that ancestral way of living through a real connection to nature. It's, they're exposed to the elements. So they've got essentially the benefits of cold thermogenesis. They've got the benefits of like exposure to the sun, so they're getting photons into their system. They're always grounded, so they're getting all the electrons, the negative ionic exchange from the floor. And these are the ancestral protocols that are natural to us. And now they're being tagged as biohacks and quantum health protocols. And it's literally just living like how we would have lived for thousands of years, for hundreds of thousands of years and millions of years before that.
Like, oh my gosh, you are dead on. You are dead on. But I have to say, like, when I visited with my Maasai friends, I was surprised to find them kind of, you know, modernizing. In other words, yeah, westernizing, because now when they have group meetings, they sit in chairs. And when my friend visited there 20 years ago, she was telling me they would squat, you know, naturally squat and sit in a circle to talk. And so it's like, oh no, don't leave that ancestral stuff. But they're still keeping a lot of their traditions. But you're exactly right. The things that we tout as biohacks, you know, are natural and beneficial, and our ancestors knew about them long before we ever graced the planet.
For sure. And it literally is. It's everywhere is becoming westernized. Like, I was out in Nepal a few years ago, and you can see the elders of how they live and the heritage that they are trying to keep. They're trying to keep some tradition alive, whereas the younger generation, they have access to mobile phones, they have access to like computers, and they just want to be westernized. They dress differently, they eat differently, the food's completely changed over there, and it's just going to wreak havoc on them. As you see, like when you take the Inuit people and then you suddenly give them a westernized diet, like within, it's like a click. It's like they suddenly start developing autoimmune conditions and other sort of inflammatory illnesses. And it shows where what we're supposed to be consuming, and that is dietary and lifestyle, a lifestyle diet, which is more than just what we eat. It's obviously everything else that contributes.
Absolutely. And can I interject one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
So when you said, as you see, it jogged a memory of mine that, you know, Dr. Price documented the change in the facial structure, particularly, but also the compromised health of those who had abandoned their traditional diets, but also particularly the next generation. In other words, he was able to take a group of people, or rather to see and observe and document those who were still eating their traditional foods and following all the normal, you know, biohacks of their day, you know, living that way, and then compare them to those who had started eating these other foods that were coming in, refined flour and sugar and oils. And as he took pictures, you could see the younger generation had crowding of the teeth and compromised vision, and he made note of all these things. They were less, their posture was less good, their eyesight, all these things. They would have inevitably some decline in health that was very visible to the naked eye. Whereas those who were still eating their traditional diets had the broader faces, the perfect alignment of the teeth, you know, everything was in its place, the good posture and all this. When I was in Peru, Chris, I could see with my own eyes the degeneration of people whose diet had compromised and those who had become kind of even more modern. This is how it happened. I went to the mountains in Aija outside of Lima, and it was like 2 or 3 hours away from the village, I mean, the main town. And when I got up there, I saw these kind of indigenous Quechuan people with these broad faces and these, you know, ruddy cheeks. And they were, we asked them to raise their hand if they were still eating organ meats. You know, they would raise their hand kind of timidly, you know. And it was a beautiful thing to see them because they were closely tied to the land and their traditions. When I went down to the city, people were eating, I'm sorry, it was outside of the city of Huaraz, not Lima, just to be clear. But people were definitely more pale. I was at the university and I saw these kids and they were pale and their faces were narrow and they were clearly had compromised health compared to those who were still tied to their traditions. So it was a contrast within that same country. And so I invite the listeners who are a part of this, your listening audience, to consider just opening their eyes and looking around to see what happens to those who you know, buy into kind of modern life and modern culture, because it's like the Walking Dead with all their little devices and stuff, right? It's kind of scary.
Yeah, for sure. And just to refer back to what you're saying then, Hilda, with the facial structure, one of the things that that Dr. Kate Shanahan discusses in her book is she refers to the work of, I can't remember his first name, but the basically he created a template called the Marquardt mask, and it's a sort of a wireframe mask of the perfect human face in accordance to the golden ratio or the Fibonacci sequence. I don't know if you know anything regarding those dimensions. There, it's basically, just to give you a brief outline, the Fibonacci sequence and the golden ratio are a, I guess you would call it like a divine, it represents divine proportion. In that way that nature grows, when you leave it to grow naturally, it will grow into this ratio, it will grow into this proportion. It's like a cosmic blueprint for how nature should, the growth pattern of nature. So anyway, this plastic surgeon who she refers to and references his work, he created a facial template in accordance to the dimensions of all the major geometrical points of the face. And then he overlaid it over some photos from the Maasai tribe, from different civilizations around the world, some indigenous, some like what you would class as like modern day, the modern day populace. And you can see that the tribal members, their facial structure was bang on to this facial template. And then the people that have been grown up on a westernized or a standard American diet, their face didn't fit perfectly. It didn't fit at all, really. It was like their cheekbones were either sunk or they were like off, pointing off in weird directions. And what Dr. Kate was saying in her book is that these foods, these indigenous foods, these ancestral dietary protocols, when followed, allows your body to grow into the golden ratio. And when you grow into the golden ratio, you are much closer to the, I guess, like, yeah, the divine growth template of nature itself. And when we do that, we obviously have more room in our face for our teeth. We have the size of our skull allows us to increase brain volume. We like our frame can hold more lean muscle mass per square inch. It's like there's a lot of interest in health factors that are linked in with this. And yeah, I think it's so important, and it's great that there's people out there that are really starting to push that workout, because I listened to one of the podcasts that you had on with, is it Chris Masterjohn, is that?
Yes, that's him.
Yeah, and I love that description that you use of Dr. Weston A. Price, which was the Isaac Newton of nutrition. And I love that, because I think that's a perfectly suitable tag for him, because he was someone who at the time was very forward thinking and ahead of his time, whereas he wasn't really ahead of his time, because everyone had been doing it for generations and generations and generations beforehand. He was just the first to really sort of note it and, yeah, bring it to the public eye. So moving on from this, what would you say are the, well, actually, what would you say? I know you know, but could you explain for everyone what the sort of pillars of the Weston A. Price diet is?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the foundation has set up 11 principles, many of which are Dr. Price's. In other words, they are things that he found when he did that world tour in the 1930s, going around from Alaska to Switzerland to Kenya to some South Sea Pacific islands. So he was documenting what these very varied diets had in common. And so he came up with some principles that they had in common, and he was like, this is how we need to eat and live. And then the foundation continued that work, so they added a few more principles. But the first one is so basic, but so important, and it's actually that the people who were the healthiest were eating no overly processed or denatured foods. So it's so funny, Chris, because in this day and age, we have so much confusion about what's healthy and what's not healthy. And I've run in circles of people who think, oh, look, this package says healthy, no gluten, you know, dairy free. So this is great. It's paleo approved or something, you know, but they're kind of missing the point that it's still packaged and processed with probably some preservatives and who knows what's all in there. But why not rather, instead of getting like avocado flavored something, like just eat the avocado, right? So that's what he was about, because interestingly, yes, those who had abandoned their traditional foods and were eating the processed and packaged, even back in his day, which wasn't as advanced as it is today, they probably weren't adding a lot of colorings and preservatives and stuff. But even back in then day, in that day, he could see the degeneration, the physical degeneration that came of that. So that's number one, is no processed or denatured foods. And number two, the other thing he noticed, he actually took samples. He was quite the researcher. So he took samples of the food and had them shipped back to his lab in Ohio to analyze once he got back. And he realized that the nutrient density, the nutrient composition of the foods of the traditional people groups was like off the charts, you know, 10 times the vitamin and mineral content and 3 times the fat soluble vitamins. Like, it was just, it blew his mind. And so he was like, oh my gosh, our diet in the US is so poor compared to that. And again, we're talking about a time in the 1930s and 40s. So you can just imagine now how we're missing that. So people just sometimes like to toss around the phrase nutrient dense. What we're really looking for is the most bang for our buck. So for example, if you think, well, I want to get more iron, I guess I'll have spinach or calcium, you know, then you would have to eat so much of that vegetable to make up just what you would get out of a single bit of steak, for example, or liver. Do you know what I mean? So, it's just, we're kind of need to go back to looking for the maximum nutrient concentration so we can kind of get to that golden ratio you were talking about. So we can kind of build up the lean muscle mass and build up our strength and bodies. And I do want to hit the point you said a minute ago before I proceed about attractiveness, because, you know, some people kind of dismiss it like, oh, well, everything's attractive, but there is a beauty in the kind of divine prescription or our kind of the direction in which our bodies should grow and go. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's no coincidence that in the movies they show the criminals with narrow faces and crooked teeth, because it's like, yeah, nobody wants to be there, right? And the hero or heroine is glowing with a broad face and everything's very symmetrical, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you think about it. So that's kind of our birthright that we're missing when we start to follow kind of modernity and buy into what's healthy without really looking back to the past. I mean, there are 11 principles. I don't know if you want me to go through all of them, but there are quite a few. The ones I cling to the most are also, yes, the no processed foods, nutrient density. The other is that they all had animal products in their diet. And this might rub some people the wrong way, but think back to our earliest ancestors on this earth. They did not have a nice little garden where they were growing tomatoes and spinach and kale, you know? They were hunters, and they would gather berries and things, yes, but they were trying to maximize their nutrient. So they would eat animals. Some people say, you know, we're not being conscious of the planet, but truly there's a way in which we can mimic nature and the way we care for our livestock sustainably, regeneratively. So it benefits the earth and our bodies. But I really think this is a basic principle we should not disregard.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think some of the big arguments of saying that we can't sustain a farming system that would allow people to eat meat all the time and to eat the ancestral way. And it's my personal opinion that, well, look what we're doing now. It's like we've got this factory farming that's completely just demonized and bastardized our, like, the way that we perceive the meat industry. The uprising in the vegan community, that's just promoting essentially monocropping agriculture. And then you get the more monocropping you get, the more that's gonna can cause desertification of farming lands. And there's just so much we need. And at the end of the day, we produce way too much food. We eat way more than we should be eating. And if we were to go back to old school, like biodynamic farming, then we would be able to get back not only more in touch with nature, with what we eat seasonally, but also the nutritional density and intrinsic value of the food would return, because it's going to be, we would be able to essentially save our soil. We would be able to have healthier animals and livestock. And it's the essential, just living in that ancestral paradigm. But again, we're in a fork in the road where we're in a dangerous position, because we're on the verge of really, really fucking up the world when it comes to what we have available in terms of what we can grow, the actual food that we grow, so it isn't poisonous, that it's not laced with glyphosate and not grown in NPK fertilizer. And just getting the, and have, most importantly, is for people to care, because most people don't, or there's a growing number of people, but there's, as evident, is obviously businesses are ran from the, like, supplying the demand. People for a long time just haven't been interested, which has allowed these big food corporations to get away with criminal acts against us as humans and against the earth itself. So it's time for people to really sort of switch on and be like, yeah, we're responsible. We are the shepherds of the garden of Gaia, of Earth, and we need to take responsibility for this and start getting our priorities straight. And that starts on a personal level. Once you start taking care of yourself and you see what it's like to be optimized, to eat the right, correct diet for your physiology, to really allow you to operate at your best, then you begin that ripple effect where it's going to start to affect the others around you. And there's just so much misinformation and disinformation out there that people are just kind of just in murky waters with it all. They don't know where to start. And they said, okay, well, I'm guessing everyone's vegan, so I'm guessing that's the healthiest thing to do. And then they jump on the vegan bandwagon, and then 2 or 3 years down the line, they're wrecked. They're wrecked. Their adrenals are wrecked. Their hormones are wrecked. And then they've just lost a bit of trust in listening to someone else who says that they've got the answers. So yeah, it's definitely a difficult one. And like, what would be your core message, Hilda, for people that are kind of looking for, I don't want to say looking for a hero to save them, but looking for, like, they've run out of options and they stumble upon this podcast, they stumble upon Wise Traditions. What would be your sort of introduction to this way of life? Because it's more so than it is a diet, it's a way of life, essentially.
Absolutely. Chris, I have something ringing. Can you hear that a little? Can you mind if I go turn it off?
Mm-hmm.
And entertain the listeners for just a second. Cool. That's a great question. I might take a second to think about it too. Hold on.
Yeah, guys, so as Hilda mentioned then, she brought up an interesting point about beauty. Now, beauty can be quite a touchy subject because people think that it's subjective in nature, and that the beauty is down to the eye of the beholder. Is that the one? Mark just made that up. But there is credit to beauty, and human beings, we are the mirrors of the divine. We were created in, you want to call it, God's image, in the universal image of creation, and we hold like I always blabber on, the human body is a biological temple, and we need to build this temple with the correct building blocks. You wouldn't build a Gothic cathedral with hay and straw. You would build it with the best materials that you could. And it's the same with the body. If you want to be able to connect with your higher self and commune with the God inside, then your temple needs to be fit for that God to reside in. And beauty is one aspect of the equation. Like normally beauty does, it's like form has, it's correlated to function. And if you've grown into these divine proportions, then you're going to be pretty healthy. You're going to inherit a good bit of genetic wealth in the process. But anyway, Hilda's back. So Hilda, try to jump on. I was just blabbering on then. I can go off on tangents very easily.
Oh, Chris, it was beautiful. I love what you're saying. And so many thoughts are racing through my mind. So if a person's like, gosh, I don't know where to start, I'm really confused by all the information I'm getting, I would say we need to trust our intuition more. We need to pay attention to what our body is telling us. That's part of it. I think that's the beginning. You even said it earlier, right? So if we're taking care of ourselves, naturally we're going to start taking care of the planet more. But what's sticking in my mind really is something that a friend of mine, Dewey Lehman, said on a podcast, and he got it from his mentor, who probably got it from his mentor. And it was, we need to unlearn to relearn. Mm-hmm. And I really like that, because I think we do have these messages that are bombarding us, and we need to kind of be willing to shed that paradigm to pay attention, and then the truth will reveal itself. Like I said, you can't unsee what I'm, for example, with what Dr. Price has learned and what he shared in his book, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, I can't unsee the truth of that because my eyes are open. And so I need to keep them open so I don't just swallow hook, line, and sinker whatever the attention merchants are trying to grab me and or pull me in with, or you know what the authorities say about certain things. Actually, that's why I like the name of your podcast. I feel like it's time to wake up. You know, it's really time to wake up and pay attention. So first to our bodies, and then be willing to shed the messages that you've been told and believe the truth that you probably already know deep inside. And so I guess that's why the Wise Traditions philosophy really drew me in, because I thought, oh my gosh, this makes sense. Why was I ever thinking that butter would be bad for me or that eggs aren't good? They can go on debating that. I don't know what they're doing in the UK, but lately they've been going back and forth like, eggs are good for you. Oh wait, actually they're not good for you. And I'm like, I'm going to reject whatever they're telling me, and I'm going to believe what makes sense to me, which is that if a chicken lays something and I can eat it, it's probably good for me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. And then I don't even need to just believe that. My body responds so well. I have eggs every day and several, and I'm like, this is the best. Like, I'm not going to buy into someone else's philosophy. I can tell for myself. And this is the other thing I'll tell you. So I got into this, first of all, like I said, because my friend started telling me that nutrition mattered. Then I started going deeper, and then I realized, oh my gosh, it's not just what you do. It's not just movement and food, but it's movement and food plus sleep. And then it's movement and food plus sleep plus sun. And like all these things started piling on. But I realized the closer we can live as our ancestors did, the better we will do. So I've really been getting a new understanding lately about the power of sunlight and how that feeds us as well. Mm-hmm. Yes, from some quantum health experts that I've interviewed on the Wise Traditions podcast, and just from my own experience. Like, I went down to Mexico in December and I was like, oh my gosh, the sunlight, like it just meant so much to me. And I've hit like every sunrise pretty much since that time on, because I'm like, I didn't know what I was missing. It's addictive. It's powerful. And it really, by getting the early morning sun, I'll slow down just a minute so your listeners can catch up. But basically, you might have had people on your show who've talked about this. But when you get that early morning sun, it sets your circadian rhythm. It energizes your mitochondria. And it gives you energy in a way. I've always been an energetic person, but it does this on a level that's profound and cellular. And I was telling my son yesterday, it's like, you know, when your car engine gets gunked up and you'll get an oil change or a radiator flush, it's like that on a cellular level. Like things get gunked up because we do have toxins coming at us all the time too, right? The Wi-Fi radiation and, you know, the glyphosate, as you mentioned, and there's just stuff everywhere that's bombarding us. And so how can you deal with it? You need to ungunk it. So cold thermogenesis and more time outdoors, getting that sunlight, like I'm just a huge fan of how these can help take your health to the next level. So I would tell the listener who's just getting started and you don't know what to do, first, like I said, listen to yourself, but also just go natural in as many ways as you can. Sleep naked. You know, it's really fun actually when you start getting into it. Turn off your lights at night. Just, you know, wear blue blockers. Like live as your ancestors did. And you're going to be strong and feeling more vitality and power than ever before.
Yeah, it's a message that I always push on this podcast and through the Prime Alchemy brand as well, is that there's, again, you did say it, like food is important, but there are other lifestyle factors that are vital within the equation of complete holistic health. And what the Prime Alchemy brand is about is physical, mental, and spiritual optimization. And doing sun gazing or some of these more sort of esoteric practices, you may not be spiritual when you begin these practices, but if you keep it up and you do it for a few months and really sort of own in on your practice and really dial into it, you will begin to unlock a spiritual connection that you may have previously been completely oblivious and asleep to. And it's by connecting through to the sun, connecting to the earth, that you begin to see what real spirituality is really about. The spirituality itself gets shit upon because it's like the way that it's marketed is that you got to have dreads and you got to have the fancy amethyst crystals around your neck and you got to do all of that shit. But it's not. It's living in accordance to natural law. And when you live with the cycles and your own internal cycle mirrors that of the heavens, that of above, so as above, so below, you are harmonic with the universe because everything runs in cycles, and that's from us with our circadian rhythms, the earth with its seasonal cycles, the galactic center with its precessional cycle of the earth through the ages, and even then further afield into the universe. Everything is running off cycles. So all, and as above, so below, everything is fractal in nature. So if you can calibrate your body to the earth, then you are calibrating your body to the universe. And when you begin to operate on these levels, that's when you start to see what true spirituality is. And when you get in touch with your spiritual side and you understand that, you don't need people telling you to do this, that, because you're connected to source. And source has all the answers. And that's your true self. And like you said, when you start to have that intuition, you start to find truth inside of yourself instead of looking outside for truth. So that's always a message that I try to push. And moving on from that, Hilda, is there anything else that you've got that you, from the interviews you've had, that you've, that stuck with you and you've been like, wow, I never really thought about that before, but that makes perfect sense, and that, and really sort of changed your own sort of path and decisions you were making at the time?
Yeah. First, I just want to go to your point about spirituality, because I think there is a freedom in living this way. I'll tell you, I used to be inside all the time. Like, and I'm a spiritual person. I'm a person of faith, you know, so, but I would literally like wake up, I would go work out like in a gym, and then I would go to work and I'd be in a building, and then I'd go buy groceries, and then I'd come home, and I spent so little time outside. But my spirituality has taken kind of a deeper, more profound aspect to it as I've gotten more in touch with nature. So now I'm like much more intentional. I try to spend as much time outside as I do inside to kind of be balanced and harmonic, as you were saying. And I'm blown away by the changes in nature I'm observing, and the little bird on the branch, which, you know, might sound kind of woo-woo or weird, but it's a beautiful thing. And so suddenly you see your place more connected in the world, both physically and spiritually. And it's quite freeing, because then it doesn't matter to me if I only got 5 likes on an Instagram post, or, you know, all the things that we get caught up in when we're too technologically connected and not enough with nature and our own selves and spirit, you know, they all fall away. And it's just, I just find it a beautiful, beautiful thing. So, you know, people have asked me, going to your question now, about like, what's your favorite podcast or what's caused changes? But this is what I would say. I think change is often incremental and gradual. So for example, if you are a first time listener to the show, like keep listening because you might be at first like, what's Chris talking about? You know, he's getting all cosmic and galactic on me, you know? So, okay, it's okay if it doesn't make sense right now, but little by little, you keep listening, you keep tuning in and suddenly like something will click. Mm-hmm. So I feel like gradually for me, there's been a dawning realization, like I said, that it's not just the food. It's definitely not just the movement, although those are amazing. But this whole, what's new to me, I would say, in the past year and a half has been the sunlight component, the cold thermogenesis. I'm doing things I never did before. I used to hate winter. I'll just get really real with you. I would like bundle myself up. And when my husband and I would go out to eat, I'd be like, okay, drop me off right in front of the restaurant because I don't want to walk from the parked car to the door of the restaurant. Like I was totally avoiding it, which I get why. I'm Latina. My mom's from Mexico. My dad's from Cuba. So it's like all about the warmth. But I was like still ridiculously afraid and fighting nature there, right? Mm-hmm. Then when I learned the benefits of cold thermogenesis and that I could challenge my body in a new way, I started doing it. So all winter, I was like going outside for like half an hour with, you know, a tank top and some shorts, and people thought I was crazy, but I felt exhilaration. My body was thanking me, I think, for pushing it, you know, it was a whole different thing. I ended up going on this fire and ice retreat with Thaddeus Owen, the Primal Hacker, in Minnesota, and like jumping in a plunge, you know, plunging in a lake that was freezing. And I was like, what am I doing here? But I loved it so much, and I found a lot of benefits like focus, mental focus, which I know is an aspect of your show. And also, I found myself with more definition in my muscles than even without working out more. And, you know, brown fat replacing the other fat tissue in my body. And I'm also mentally like feeling like I can do anything. Chris, if I can jump in a frozen lake in Minnesota, you know, that makes me feel like I can conquer some little hater online or some obstacle in my life. It's like no big deal. So I would say the biggest aha for me in the past, you know, like I said, 6 months has really been this cold thermogenesis and getting that morning sun that has been like just an amazing switched flip in my life. I won't say that, I don't know. How can I put it? I've always felt like I've operated at a pretty high level, but it's just taking me even higher, I guess I would say. So it's just been phenomenal. And I really love that because so many people are kind of in a rut. They're like, oh, I keep working out, but I'm not making any progress or I'm not losing weight. If you add sunlight and cold thermogenesis to your routine, to whatever degree you can, it might even be just plunging your face in a little bowl of cold ice water, you know, you will find some benefits that will surprise you. And stop looking at the scale too. I'm not big on like, you know, measuring your weight. I'm just big on like feeling your optimal self, which I know you're about to. So that's what I would hope for your listeners, because that's made a big difference for me and I just love it.
Yeah, I'm totally on board. And I think it's all of these practices, they are all great by themselves. But if you add them together, then the age old saying that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts really does come to fruition, because it's when you put all of these practices together, it completely puts you on another level. Like you feel so grounded, so connected, but at the same time, like you're able to navigate the heavens above. And it's a lot of these practices, like you know yourself, they have real strong physiological implications in the body and how it affects us, more so than just what science is beginning to catch up with. Like for so long, we thought that staring at the sun would be bad for us. So we were told that don't stare at the sun. You got to get your sunglasses. You got to wear your sunscreen. And all this time, it's just been completely fucking us over. And it's the same thing with people who are kind of, you're told that you should like, cold showers, no one does that nowadays. Years before, that's what everyone would have had. They wouldn't have had the luxury of being able to turn on the heating and being able to put in the have a hot shower. Back then it would have always been cold showers, and it would have been natural in the lake or in under a waterfall or something like that. And it's amazing, and it's what the body needs. And when combined with the correct diet, you get a lot of animal fats in there, get the fat soluble vitamins as well. It's what our body needs. You need these fats, the specifically like the polyunsaturated fats, where you get the omega-6 and omega-3s. They have a real good capability of holding electron clouds outside of the cellular membrane. And then it's going to be that if we've got the correct cellular voltage, it creates like a diode effect where we can pull those electrons into our cell, which is going to power us up. Like you said, mitochondrial health, it's so important.
Absolutely. And can I interject? I loved when you mentioned the grounding earlier too, because that's a piece that is also critical. It's especially critical, and I found this out recently, because, you know, we're bombarded by radiation, as I've mentioned, from cell towers and from Wi-Fi networks, and it's just all around us. So, and even the electromagnetic field from the electricity in our homes. So when we put our feet on the ground, we're barefoot, we're absorbing the negative charge of the earth, which gives us positive energy and can kind of latch on to some of those free radicals that can be cancer causing. So like you said, science is catching up to this ancestral practice. So we might not even know all the benefits that we're gleaning from doing some of these things, but we do know that our energy is up, that our focus is good, that we feel 100%. And that's actually my goal as Holistic Hilda. I'm about to launch a YouTube channel because I just want everybody to feel at 100% at every age and stage. And dude, I've met people in their 20s who have arthritis or anxiety or depression, and I'm like, whoa, I'm so much older than you and I don't have any of those things, and I want to help you live your best life. But, you know, they think maybe, oh, I'll just take these medications and that will help. Well, that's like taping a little Band-Aid on a huge gaping wound. Mm-hmm. So I'm really hoping that people who are struggling with these issues, whatever your health issue may be, go basic, go primal, you know, go paleo, go Weston Price. We're all in a family of people who are pushing toward what's natural and best for our bodies.
Yes. Perfect, Hilda. And I'm just looking, I only had you for a small amount of time for this one, so we're close this one up, just because I am really appreciative of your time. So yeah, just to finish it off, Hilda, we'll do one last question, which is something that at the beginning when I first started doing this podcast I kept to, and then somewhere like around the line it kind of just, I stopped asking it, but I guess I should really start asking it just to have some continuity to the podcast, which is, if you could have one physical, mental, or spiritual practice that you would advise for someone to start up, what would it be and why? Oh, actually, you know, one thing, I actually want to run this past you. This is completely off on a complete different tangent. Did you hear about Kerrygold?
I did. Yes, I did.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I feel like we overstress about toxins and things. I mean, I know they're there. I know glyphosate is bad. It's not good that they said it was, you know, grass-fed butter, but they're grain finishing their cattle. Mm. But I'm like, I have to be honest with you. I love the taste of it. I just think it's amazing. And I'm like, you know what? If my body is strong, it can fight off these things, you know? So I don't think we can have a standard that's like 100% everything.
Is that like nitpicking a little bit?
Yeah, surprisingly, I have loosened up my eating standards. I used to be like, never a grain of refined sugar will cross these lips. And then I'm like, not because I want to live it up, because I actually live it up by eating liver and a very wholesome diet, like bring on the raw milk and the sourdough and the meat. And like, I'm just like all about all that stuff. But I've realized that the community piece matters too, so that if everyone's having, last night I was at an event and everyone was having something, and I didn't want to be that person like, no, must not touch it. So I just had a small portion of whatever. It was the opposite of what I would normally be eating. But I just feel like we can obsess about that to a degree that's not good. I think they even call it orthorexia, right? When you're so obsessed about the perfect diet and eating clean that you get anxious. And I don't think I was ever at that point, but I just don't want to be there. So I've kind of relaxed up a little bit. So yes, I have my Kerrygold. I also get butter from a local farm. And so actually, I think this is going to be my one recommendation for people. This is crazy because I've mentioned so many good things, so it's hard for me to pick. But I would actually say go local. Go local with your food sourcing as much as possible. And it's because I follow Jack Cruz a little bit, and I don't know if your listeners have heard this yet, but he says that the food you take in even has the light information of where you're at. Mm-hmm. And so if I, living in Washington, D.C., eat pineapple, which is from the tropics, the information that pineapple is giving my body is a mismatch. And I thought that was fascinating because I'd always heard eat local, it's better for the environment, less trucks shipping things across the country. But I hadn't thought about that light information piece. So it's fascinating. Again, I'm not perfectly adhering to this. I really do like pineapple. But I think it's wise. Again, that's one of these secrets that Dr. Price stumbled upon without even realizing it. These traditional indigenous people around the world were eating the food from their area. Of course they were. In Alaska, it was whale blubber and seal oil and fish, you know. And in Kenya, it was the meat and the milk and the wild fruit and honey. So we should be eating as local as possible, I think, for optimal health. So that's something I'm stepping closer to. Again, and it's also another piece of advice I would say is don't should on yourself. And what I mean by that is don't be like, I should do this, I should do that. Be gracious with yourself and understand that it's a journey. And little by little, as I said, some things just happen incrementally. Little by little, your health will improve, your psyche will improve, your mind, your spirit, your body. So have grace with yourself as you're on the journey and go local when you can and get that sunlight. That's what I would say.
All right, Helen, that was good. I'm happy that you brought up Dr. Jack Cruz as well. I talk about his work quite a bit on here, and hoping to get him on here one day because he's definitely a bit of a maverick when it comes to this. Although he does rub people up the wrong way with his way of getting his message across. But I'm all for rustling a few feathers. So anyway, it's
me too.
Just to finish this one up, then, Helen, where else can for everyone that's been enjoying the podcast, which I hope they have, because you've I really enjoyed this one with you. Where can they find more from you? Like, what's your social media handles? Obviously, I mentioned the Wise Traditions podcast as well. So if you want to throw everything in.
Yep. That's where I hang the most is the Wise Traditions podcast, which you can find wherever you get your podcasts. But also you can go to my website, holistichilda.com, and find out more about kind of what I'm learning on the journey. And also, I have at Holistic Hilda is my Instagram handle and my Twitter handle. I spend a lot of time on Instagram because it's just so fun to connect with people there. So follow me, my adventures, you guys. I'm going to Australia, which I cannot believe I'm doing. I'm very excited. I'm going to try to get a videographer to go with me or to meet me there to capture some of this amazing ancestral health wisdom that I'm going to get when I'm down there. So follow me because I'm like Chris. I like to point to the people who are really in the know and we're all moving in the same direction. So I would love to have you connect with me, and just look me up at Holistic Hilda.
Cool, for sure. You need to stock up on that emu oil while you're down there, Hilda.
Yes,
make the most of it if you're going to be out down that end of the world. Anyway, guys, hopefully you enjoyed this one. Yeah, a little bit shorter than normal, but only had Hilda for a little bit of time, but managed to get the most out of her that we could. So again, that's what are we on? Episode 58. Fuck. Starting to pile up now, guys. Episode 58. All right. So as usual, guys, stay woke as fuck, and I'll catch you on the next episode.